Aloha, I'm Anne Nishida Fry of Hawaiian Telcom's Corporate Communications Department, bringing you an episode of Chats That Matter, the only podcast exclusively for the employees of Cincinnati Bell, CBTS, Onyx, and Hawaiian Telcom. In our first podcast of 2020, we wanted to take the opportunity to say mahalo and thank you to John Komeji as he steps into the role of Vice President and General Counsel for Kamehameha Schools. And we're excited to hear from our new President and General Manager, Sue Shin, about what we can look forward to as she takes the reins of our 136-year-old company. John and Sue, welcome to Chats That Matter.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
So it's a very exciting time for both of you and really for all of us. John, would you take a minute to share with everyone, including those who are not familiar with Kamehameha Schools, what you'd shared with us, your Hawaiian Telcom Ohana, about what you plan to do in your new role and why you feel this was the right time?
For those of you that are not familiar with Kamehameha Schools is a school that was started by one of our princesses. She bequeathed a lot of property and land to form the basis of the schools. Currently, there are three campuses of the schools, and the schools give preference to those of Native Hawaiian ancestry. The schools serve about 5,500 students. They also spend money outside of the schools in terms of preschools and serve another 13,000 students. They also are engaged in outside the community engagement and serve another 35,000 individuals. So there's a broad range of activities that they do, and the whole idea is to educate and promote the Native Hawaiian communities. So with that in mind, I was asked to join Kamehameha Schools as the General Counsel Vice President. My hope is to make a positive contribution. The other thing that the schools do, they have over 2,500 acres of land in Hawaii. Some of that land is commercial. The vast majority of the land is conservation. So they play an important role in Hawaii, both in terms of economic development as well as sustainability. It was the combination of all of the above that kind of enticed me. At my age, most people are retiring, but I thought that all in my life I've been very lucky in terms of the opportunities that I've been given. Sometimes you wonder to yourself whether or not these opportunities are being given to you for a purpose, and you never end up answering that question. But nonetheless, when an opportunity to potentially positively affect Hawaii's course in terms of the real estate side, as well as affect many, many thousands of children, as well as future generations, it came to mind that maybe the opportunities that I was given in the past was leading me to this final career.
Hey, John, at one point I remember hearing about Kamehameha Schools and their endowment.
I think it's kind of a little known fact about them. Not to say that, money is everything, but it certainly gives them the ability, the resources, the reach to make a broader impact in Hawaii, even kind of beyond educating Native Hawaiians.
Yeah, so they recently published their most recent annual report. They published it in the local newspaper. And if you value their property at fair market value, the current valuation of the trust is $12.1 billion. So it is a very, very substantial organization.
And I know, John, you've talked about your desire to be at Kamehameha Schools. And again, of course, the educational component is important, especially given your background. The impact to help shape and guide the Native Hawaiian community and the role that maybe Kamehameha Schools can play, or the leadership role that they can play, given just their stature, their reach, was another reason why you were drawn to this opportunity?
I'm not real sure about how the trustees and current leadership view their role in Hawaii's future. I know 100% that they're committed to making sure that the Native Hawaiians advance and are educated, as well as being provided other services. But I guess one of the questions I have, and I'll try to get an answer when I get there, is what does Kamehameha Schools view their role in the broader community? Because they have substantial land holdings and because they have substantial assets, what do they view their leadership role is in the larger community. You know, there's a lot of discord, distrust, and I guess general unrest within the larger community as a whole. So one of my questions and one thing that I hope to participate in is to define or help understand what role Kamehameha Schools plays as one of the most important institutions here in Hawaii. What role do they play in helping shape Hawaii and preserving a lot of what makes Hawaii special and unique? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to turn it over to Sue. On Monday, February 10th, Sue Shin became our president and general manager, the first woman to hold this leadership role. You know, not everyone is aware of this, but Sue, you were actually born in Korea and immigrated to Hawaii when you were quite young. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that and your life growing up?
Sure, I'm happy to. Yeah, so I was born in Seoul, South Korea. And my father actually passed away pretty suddenly in his sleep. He was 34 years old, so obviously completely unexpected.
Very young.
Yeah, and my mom was all of a sudden, she's a single mom. I don't even think she had a high school education at that point. My brother was 8 at the time. I was 5. Her sister was living in Hawaii. Her husband had a job with the DOD, and so they sponsored us. And we moved to Hawaii in 1977. You know, I was 5, so I don't remember a lot about the details about it, but I definitely remember, you know, having to learn English and the whole thing. And really, you know, I tell people that the real hero in this story is definitely my mom, right? To be a single mom and then to be in a country that's not your own, to have to completely learn a new language, a culture. To say that she had grit, I think, is a huge understatement. I can't even, and as a parent now myself, I have 2 daughters. There have been moments where, you know, things are challenging, right? And then, you know, you start to, you know, head down sort of a negative path. And then I kind of have to shake myself out of it. And sometimes I find myself, you know, as I give myself the pep talk, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this is nothing compared to what my mom went through, right? And so, of course you can do this, you know? So there's definitely that drives me personally, I guess. Not that it's a conscious thing all the time, but maybe that's where my work ethic comes from, you know? And to this day, I don't think I rarely see my mom doing nothing, and she's in her 80s now, right? So certainly that shaped my outlook. It shaped my values, right? It definitely is a significant aspect of who I am.
A strong female role model.
Hopefully. That's the hope. You know, John and I actually have had some discussions about this around, in a lot of ways, what we struggle with as parents is, you know, we work hard so that our kids have opportunities and access to opportunities we never had.
But
on the flip side of that, maybe we should have let them stumble a bit more. You know, we should have let them struggle a little bit more, because can you really teach grit, right? Can you really teach that kind of tenacity that comes maybe from those life experiences? I mean, and again, you know, we feel really fortunate. My girls are great, knock on wood. but there definitely is a part of it where unless you actually live through something, you can't fully appreciate it, you know? No matter what we try to do as parents to instill that in them, you know, they've never wanted or needed anything in their life, really.
Which is probably quite a contrast to how you grew up.
Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
In the very early years, yeah.
Absolutely, and it's funny, you know, I have, there are moments where I find myself saying things to my kids like, oh, you know, you have to take care of your things, you know, you can't just go out and buy another one, but yet they can, you know what I'm saying? And so in a lot of ways, yeah, I have to blame myself for that.
But
so
of course your natural instinct is to
right.
not want them to go through what you went
exactly,
through.
Exactly,
right?
exactly.
But yeah, I so can it's, totally hear hear that.
It's a yeah, it's a struggle. It's finding that balance as a parent.
Do you talk to them at all about your childhood and growing up? Because
yeah, yeah. And so my mom actually lives with us now, and so
different mom lives with you now.
A totally different mom. It's not a joke. So there are moments where I will scold my daughters for something, and my mom will jump in and she'll defend them and she'll scold me for scolding them. And I look at her and I'm like, who are you and what have you done with my mother? Like, and in a lot of ways, it's actually nice to see her in that way because she gets to be the grandma, right? She gets to not stress out over the stuff that she had to stress out over for us, right? I mean, she was a really strict parent, but you know, that now enables us to be able to provide for our kids in ways that, you know, of course she wouldn't have dreamed possible, yeah. Right? But yeah, it's really funny. And so she has a really close relationship with my daughters, but in a really different way. She definitely lets me be the disciplinarian in the relationship. But
I think you had shared with us before that your mom was working a lot, right? Because yeah. She had to provide for you. So you and your brother were kind of latchkey kids in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, of course, when we first came, she didn't speak any English at all. And so kind of the only jobs that she could find were like, she would work in the kitchens of like these bars at night. And so it was like the graveyard type shift. So right, she right. would, we would come home from school, she would feed us dinner and then quote unquote put us to bed.
Right, right.
And then she would go, to work,
to, go to work
and she would be cooking and doing all of that stuff. And then she would come home in time to wake us up and get us ready for school. And that was, you know, in the really early days, right? And I just remember, because I was obviously quite young, I just remember late at night watching Taxi. I just aged myself. Because Taxi was on after the late news in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was quite inappropriate, I'm sure. But my brother and I were up late watching Taxi while my mom wasn't home. So Taxi was kind of
there's a whole generation of listeners Googling Taxi. Taxi. They're like, what is that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that it was appropriate television content for an elementary school kid, but oh well.
Well, look at you now.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. Well, you've been out in force. You know, you've been attending department meetings and customer meetings, as well as meeting with government officials and regulatory officials. Can you kind of just give us a little preview into that, how that's been going, how yeah. it's been received, what you're sharing?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. I've been telling a lot of people, because I really feel this way, that I feel really lucky, right, on a lot of fronts. But you know, I don't know many people that get to transition into a role like mine in the way that I've been able to transition into it, right? With John's, you know, help and counsel. And he has spent the last month probably with me way more than he would like.
John's nodding his head.
Yeah, he's you know, one-on-one meetings with really the top CEOs in the state. These are key customers of ours, but also in some instances, they're key partners of ours, right? And Hawaii's a really small town and it's all about relationships, right? And so candidly, the benefit that I've had over the last month is, whether he knows it or not, you know, him going with me to these meetings, has been helpful in that it's his endorsement of me, right? And because of his deep personal relationships with some of these people, that goes a really long way. And again, I don't know many people that have this type of opportunity, right? And so I half jokingly say that at this point, if I screw this up, that's all on me because he certainly has set me up for success. And so for that, I'm really, really grateful. And I, again, definitely recognize and realize that that's special, you know, that doesn't happen for everyone. It's been terrific. Of course, on the customer and business community side, the meetings have been very, very well received. You know, the business community really acknowledges and understands the transformation that we've made, just even over the last couple of years, right? Going from, you know, 7 consecutive quarters of EBITDA decline to then completely turning that around to now six consecutive quarters of flat or EBITDA growth is really kind of unheard of. It's certainly unheard of in our industry and in our space, right? We're looking at, you know, companies in our space that are ready to file for bankruptcy, right? So it's tremendous. And really, of course, it's due to John's leadership, but it's really also due to our employees, our leadership team here. They have done so much. They have worked so hard. It really is a testament to their grit, right? And their tenacity. They're just wanting to make this place successful, right? I think we all have a tremendous sense of responsibility around what it means to work at and lead a company like Hawaiian Telcom. The legacy, the history, you know, we certainly don't want to be the people at the helm when a company like this doesn't do well, right? We want to be the leadership team that makes this place successful, right? That shepherds this critical entity into sort of the next generation, right? Into sort of the next chapter, which is really quite exciting, right? With a lot of the announcements that have been made recently. We're really, really excited about what the future holds for Hawaiian Telcom, for our employees, and of course for the community, right?
Would you like to share any of your like short-term goals?
Short-term goals, I think there's a lot of change that we're facing right now. The leadership change. You know, anytime there's a lot of change, there's a natural tendency to be nervous about that, to be nervous about what that change might hold, you know, the future being somewhat uncertain, right? And so I really believe that a big part of what I need to do, at least in the short term, is to help our employees feel a sense of confidence in the direction that the company is heading in. And our employees have heard Lee Fox say on multiple occasions, right, we are that nice house in a bad neighborhood.
Right, right.
And certainly the reaction of the market recently, to me, underscores that, right, that maybe finally the market is recognizing that we're undervalued. And I think that goes back to and speaks volumes to the efforts of our team, right, that all the hard work that they put in, everything that they've done over the last couple of years to really turn the company around, I think they should feel good about that. I think
absolutely
our employees should feel a sense of pride around that, right? It's not an easy thing to do. And really, they were the ones that made it possible. So I really think, again, short term, I really want that to be a focus. The other thing, obviously, is we need to execute on 2020. So with all the changes and announcements and distractions, we certainly want to help our employees to focus on the job at hand. Because again, you know, we face a fierce competitor in the market. They're not going to let up at all. And so, you know, we as, you know, a leadership team have a responsibility to help our employees through this period. And I have every confidence that we can do that. So, yeah.
John, do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to leave us with as you head off on your way?
First thing I got to get off my chest is that Sue came to Hawaii in 1977 as a five-year-old. I was a second-year law student in San Francisco at that time. Just to set the record, just saying, just to give some context. But, you know, I'm extremely pleased that Sue has really taken up the mantle and is really going to be successful. You know, we have very different, I think, leadership styles. Just our personalities are different. But I'm really, really confident that her leadership and her style, along with the HTLT, our leadership team, is going to kind of take us to the next level. And I think that Sue will help make sure that we go fast and go in the right direction. At the same time, not losing our fast values, not losing our aloha spirit, and not losing what makes Hawaiian Telcom a special place to work. So I wish Sue and all of you the best. I know you'll get there.
Sue, are there any thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Well, you know, John talked about Kamehameha Schools and their seemingly limitless resources. So, you know, we know where he's going. We'll be calling on him. We hope that, you know, Kamehameha Schools will throw more business our way since they're stealing him. But thank you, John, for all your years of dedication to our employees, to the company. I think the impact that you've made here just really can't be overstated, so thank you. So, you know, I've been going around and doing all hands meetings to kick off the year. The timing actually worked out really well with me transitioning into this new role as well. So I've been taking the opportunity to not just share sort of our goals and plans for 2020 and strategies, but also really sort of around my leadership style. You know, John mentioned it, you know, we're really different people with very different styles, very different leadership styles. And so I've been sharing with folks both what my expectations are of everyone, as well as what they can expect of me. And these are things that I started off by sharing with our leadership team because I needed them to buy in. And really, I feel like as leaders, we have a even greater responsibility to walk the talk, right? And to demonstrate the kinds of behaviors we want to see in our company. And so the first thing really is do the right thing for the right reasons, always, right? And so that means that sometimes we're going to have some difficult and uncomfortable conversations with people, but it's not blanket permission to be rude or to be insensitive, but it's really the opposite. What I'm saying is we should care enough about each other, about our company, to raise issues that need to be raised and to support each other, to do the right thing, again, for the right reasons, right? And so that's the first thing. The second thing is that I say always explain the why. And what I mean by that, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. But the important thing here is, regardless of if you're a leader or if you're, you know, at the line level, explain the why, whether it's to a customer or to a peer, to a subordinate, right? And as an employee, if you don't get the why, ask for the why, right? Because it's really important so that they can then convey it on. And then finally, the last thing is to care for and about each other. Because really, we really only have each other, right? We're a team. Our partners in Cincinnati, our partners here. We have to work together to be successful. These are the things that I've shared with everyone. And the way that I've shared it is that I've said, these are obviously expectations of the leadership team, of all of our employees. And really, these are expectations that employees should hold me accountable to. And so what I said is to speak the kind truth, which really just means to let me know when I'm not exhibiting one of these behaviors. And we really have each other to hold accountable to this. And so the hope is that continue to work on this. No one's perfect, right? But that if we focus on these things, that we really can be successful together as an Ohana, right?
And we have been. It's been growing, and mm-hmm. under John's leadership, the foundation was built, and mm-hmm. here we go. Well, thanks to both of you for joining us on Chats That Matter. As always, mahalo and thank you for listening to our Chats That Matter podcast. This episode was hosted by Anne Nishida Fry, that's me, with editing and production by Leah Naka'ahiki. Special thanks to our guests, John Komeji and Sue Shin. If you have any questions, comments, or thoughts, please send us an email at ctmpodcast@sinbell.com. Mahalo.